GoDaddy.com. Use the code POD139, that's POD139, for 10% off GoDaddy hosting. GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1106, July 5th, 2009.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from, truck stop along Interstate 40 in Tennessee. night before last, I was at, Temple, Texas. And then, so the next day, I was supposed to pick a load up at Waco. And so I, went up there, went up to Waco, checked into the place, needed three pieces of information. I needed a load number, a trailer number, and a destination. Well, They didn't give me the load number, so it turned, after I had to call them to get the load number, like a bill of lading number. And so I had the bill of lading number, and I had a trailer number. But then the guard there said, yep, no, the destination doesn't match. And so I called them again, and the company. And so called them again. And he said, well, get me the number and the name of somebody that I can call there. And send it to me on the Qualcomm. And so I did. And it was, good 2 hours later when they finally responded. And it said, well, the destination isn't Manteno, Illinois. It's Hazleton, Pennsylvania. And so this was, in the meantime, this was a different dispatcher than the one that, that I'd been dealing with the day before. So apparently someone was off, probably for the holiday or whatever, or maybe had been filling in. And so, this guy that was there, Friday. This guy that was there Friday, I mentioned to him, well, hey, what about swapping this out so I can go home? And he sent this message back, well, what are you talking about? And he didn't want to hear anything, and so I sent a message back saying, well, somebody, the day before, somebody was saying that they would try to set up a swap out so that I could go home. And and then he tried to tell me, well, you don't have any home message in the computer. And, yes, I do. Well, they never promised you that you could go home for the 4th of July. And then I sent him a message back. Well, I don't really care about, I go home every month, beginning of the month, end of the month, always at about the same time of the month, and take my time off. I don't care about the holiday. If, it could be 2 or 3 days later after the fact, I don't care. I'm easy to get along with. We'll do whatever we can, which means nothing. And so I'll have to keep badgering them. But so in the meantime, of course, when was it? Thursday? After I talked to the woman and, the fleet manager, who's a completely different person, and she's in Pennsylvania. And, and she was basically badgering me about too high a percentage of idle time, idling the truck's engine. And, I ended up turning the truck off and sitting there in the heat there at Temple, Texas, all day long, you know, in the 103 degrees. And so I was sweating, you know, that was probably an overreaction on my part, but I was sweating, not terribly, but I sweat, you know, sitting there in the heat, and I went inside the truck stop a couple of different times and cooled off. But, you know, so, and then that night I started the truck up, so, you know, because there's no way I could sleep, you know, in that kind of heat sweating. I can't sleep while I'm sweating. And so I'm not going to do that anymore. I've decided that, you know, I'm going to continue to idle the truck. You know, I'll make it raise the temperature a little bit. And I'm not idling the truck. You know, I'm shutting it off when I leave it, which I was doing anyway, but I'm shutting it off. I think what the problem, you know, I tend to spend, you know, when I'm parked, and of course I've been parked a hell of a lot lately because of the lack of loads. When I'm parked, I tend not to hang out in truck stops. I tend to hang out in the truck. And, you know, if I'm in the truck, I have to be comfortable. And, so that's really probably where the rub is. And so, but I've decided that I'm gonna be comfortable. Now like right now I've got the temperature up a little bit, you know, it's up a little bit higher. So it's right now it's 82 degrees in here, you know, at least with the thermometer here in my sleeper that's part of that thermostat that controls the optimized idle. It's at 82 degrees, so it's a little warm. I'm not sweating, you know. Now you can probably hear there is a raging thunderstorm going on, you know, and you can probably hear the rain, but certainly you can hear the thunder, and there's some pretty good lightning going on out there. So, but it's 82 degrees in here, and what, you know, ever so often it'll, you know, it's bumping up there, and then the truck will start for, you know, a few minutes, run a few minutes, cool it back down about 3 degrees, 4 degrees. And then it shuts back off, and then it'll go several minutes before it starts back up again. So, you know, I'm going to remain comfortable. Now, what I should have done Thursday, there the truck's about to start. What I should have done on Thursday was maybe set it on 85 degrees, and then it would have started and stopped, and, you know, I wouldn't have been as miserable. But I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, I'm not going to sit there in the heat because... you know, quite frankly, it's taken me a while to recover from that. I don't, you know, I didn't have any heat stroke or anything, but I, you know, I just haven't quite felt, you know, sort of felt sort of, you know, I don't know, not really sore, but sort of, you know, not really stiff, but sort of like that, and kind of tired, you know, and I think I pretty much maybe I'm close to recovering from it at this point. But I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to subject myself to that. And, you know, it may well be that I end up having to find another job. Because this one, you know, this is a decent company. Don't get me wrong. It's a decent company. But then the problem is that, and it's been an ongoing problem. You know, you can go back to listen to, you know, the podcast for the last, you know, I've worked for this company for 3 years now. You can go back and listen to those podcasts, and, you know, it's been an ongoing problem getting home once a month. It's, you know, it's just a never-ending problem. It's always you know, for the most part, it always seems like it's a big hassle for them to get me back home. And, this is particularly true, you know, about a year and a half ago, they changed the dispatch system. They used to have dispatchers in Pennsylvania, you know, and you were assigned to a dispatcher. And so that person, you know, would always handle you regardless of what part of the country you were in. Well, they changed that. They got rid of most of the people in that office in Pennsylvania. They just pretty much got rid of them. Some of them they offered to move them to Lincoln, Nebraska. I don't know if any of them took them up on that or not, but they got rid of most of the people in that office. You know, there's just a skeleton crew compared to what there used to be in that office in Pennsylvania. And so they now they handle, you know, all of the dispatching is handled out of Lincoln, Nebraska. And they went to a regional dispatch system. So a you know, let's say I unload, you know, each dispatcher's got a different region of the country that they handle. So you unload in one area, and you're dealing with dispatcher A, and then that, you know, they send you to another area, then you're dealing with a dispatcher B, dispatcher C, so on and so forth. And so they're kind of bouncing you from area to area, and in that type of system, their goal really is to, it's more impersonal, their goal is to just get you out of their area. You know, that's kind of, you know, that tends to be the way a regional dispatch system works. So, you know, I don't know. But, so I think it's about time for me to probably start looking for a different job. And, you know, of course, it's going to be a lower wage, lower cents per mile. But the problem is right now, I mean, you know, what am I? I think I'm making about 45 cents per mile. But, you know, my mileage is down. So, you know, and I am doing quite a bit of sitting now. You know, to a certain extent, I can, you know, I don't mind sitting as much, you know, as long as, you know, because I have my computer here. But, you know, now they're griping, well, you're idling the truck too much. What do you expect me to do? You know? So, you know, there are drivers that are paying out of their pocket to, you know, to plug into this idle air system that's available in some truck stops. There are drivers that are probably going inside the truck stops and hanging out, you know. Now, if you're driving in the at night and sleeping in the daytime, then pretty much the truck is going to be idling, you know. Which I tend to do, you know, I tend to do a lot of that, or probably more than the average person does. Or I'm sleeping half the day away, you know, because typically if I'm kind of left to my own devices, I'll sleep till, you know, I may stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning and then sleep till noon. You know, that's a very typical thing, you know, a typical schedule that I'll do if I'm just kind of, you know, if all the other things are sort of conformed to that, then that's very typical for me to do. There are drivers that you know, get up early in the morning and drive, and then, you know, I tend to, you know, be one of the, you know, stay up late and then drive in and sleep late. So, you know, it does probably result in more idle time, you know, where the truck's idling to, you know, and that's going to be especially true if it's hot weather or if it's cold weather. The truck's going to have to idle to keep the temperature up. So, I don't know, but, you know, that's probably going to have to happen. I think I'm about ready to start looking elsewhere, because I, you know, and then the other thing, and I don't know, you know, that they're doing it, but, you know, there are some companies that I, you know, and I've heard, that, you know, kind of anecdotally, that they will begin to hassle drivers that are making more money. You know, they'll kind of hassle them, you know, and, well, you know, for example, you know, when there was a driver shortage not that long ago, I think whenever I came to work, you know, 3 years ago or however long ago it was, I think it was 3 years ago, maybe, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago, I don't even remember now. It's been at least 3 years, but, when I came to work for these people, you know, I believe I started out at about 42 cents a mile. Well, I was looking on their website tonight, and they're starting people out at, what was it, 37 cents, maybe? And then, depending on the levels of experience, maybe, you know, maybe slightly more than that. So they have reduced the starting pay. So that indicates to me that, you know, they weren't happy. You know, obviously they weren't happy with, you know, the higher wage scale. So now they've reduced it because they're able to get away with it because there's more drivers available. They're not, you know, it's easier to recruit people in this economy. It's easier to recruit drivers than it traditionally has been in the past for a long time. So obviously they're not happy with the pay scale, and so then they can kind of, you know, there I could see where there could be some pressure. And again, I don't know that they're doing that, but there are companies that that I have heard, you know, will come along and try to get the higher cost employees to quit, you know, the people that have been there for a while. And, you know, you look in other industries, and, you know, I've heard stories over and over and over again about people that have, you know, let's say somebody's worked for a company for 20 or 30 years. Well, you'd think that those people would be they'd be valued employees. Well, no, they, you know, particularly if a company gets bought out, you know, let's say it's a, you know, maybe gas company or something that gets bought out more, you know, multiple times. Well, the people that buy it, the new buyers, they think, oh, that's that guy that's been there 20 years or 30 years, that guy's a liability because he's making too much. We can somehow get rid of him, or it could be a her, but get rid of that person and hire somebody at a lower wage rate. And that has, you know, that story I've heard over and over and over again. And I know of at least two different people. You know, I know one of them personally, and I know one kind of anecdotally that happened to. And you know, so that does happen. You know, if someone's been with a particular company for a long, long time, and their wages kind of are up there, then the company gets sold out, or, you know, and then somebody comes along and says, "Hey, we can just get rid of that person and bring in the lower wage rate people." And, you know, so that type of stuff does happen, and there is pressure. So again, I'm not saying that my company is doing that, but I'm sure they're looking, you know. You know, why else would they, you know, all, you know, kind of out of the blue, just come and, you know, kind of approach me and, "Well, you're idling the truck too much," you know, and have this tone of voice that, you know, they're about ready to fire me. So I don't know, but in any case, I think it is time to start looking for another job. And, you know, there are even in this economy, you can still find jobs driving a truck. And again, you know, my expenses aren't that great. So, you know, I'm willing to probably make some sort of a trade-off, you know, where maybe I have to work more for less money. But maybe have a, you know, somewhat of a less hassle factor, you know, because the hassle factor is the thing that, more so than anything else, the hassle factor of a job is the thing that will drive people away and cause people to, I think it tends to cause employees, you know, if a company hassles people, you know, they give them a lot of hassle, that tends to result in unhappy employees. And of course, your employees can end up making or breaking your business. And, you know, I've read articles, you know, before where basically they say that if you can do things to keep, you know, to really make your employees happy and make them feel like they're not being hassled, make them feel comfortable, people are willing to work for less pay than they would otherwise and be happy about it. So I don't know, I'm gonna have to start kind of looking and you know, kind of make a decision. So, but this is, I don't know, this ongoing thing about not getting home has kind of been a somewhat of a problem. And then you know, they have, you know, in the past, you know, as long as they leave me alone and just let me do my job, you know, I'm going to deliver the stuff on, pick the stuff up on time, deliver the stuff on time, do it in a legal manner. And, you know, I do that, but then again, here they come along and they start hassling me about this and hassling me about that. Then, you know, there comes a point where it's really, you know, it kind of adds up. You know, you have kind of liabilities that begin to add up. And so, I don't know, I think I am going to begin looking elsewhere and, you know, kind of see what I can come up with. So, I don't know. But anyway, it's still raining. It looks like the rain has set in for the night. Now, when I got here, this truck stop's been here for years. You know, and they've got a pretty good-sized restaurant and so on and so forth. And they've got this big fireworks stand that's set up right beside the building. It's probably someone's rented the space. Or maybe the truck stop itself is running it, but they've got this big, you know, it's kind of a tent-type firework stand. And they, you know, they were, when I first got here, it was still daylight this evening, and went in there to get something to eat. And, you know, when I came back out, it was just starting to rain. So I would have met, you know, and of course, they had to pretty much close the firework stand at that point. They were putting the tent back down and, you know, but, and I haven't seen any fireworks displays at all. Of course, I'd already stopped by the time it was, you know, it was still daylight when I stopped, but I have not seen any fireworks displays at all. There have been times where, you know, around the 4th of July where I'll be driving along at night and I'll begin to see fireworks displays, you know, kind of as I'm driving along, but this year I haven't seen any at all. And but, you know, if there was chances are, if it weren't raining right now, I would have at least heard some firecrackers or saw some sort of fireworks displays. But I haven't, you know, haven't heard a thing or seen a thing. And of course, with this kind of rain going on, that ain't gonna happen. You know, because there is quite a bit. There was earlier, there's been some pretty spectacular lightning, fairly close lightning. And I think at one point, at least part of the truck stop's electricity was off for a few minutes, you know, because the place was all dark. But, you know, then it came back on. And so it stayed on. But it was off for a while, for a few minutes. But so, you know, there's no, you know, if they were going to have fireworks displays around here, you know, just, of course, this is kind of this truck stop, you know, I think there's probably a few houses around here, or maybe some little town that's nearby. So, you know, it's kind of more of a rural area of Tennessee. It's about, you know, I'm about, I think it's exit 122 off of Interstate 40 or 117 or, I don't know, 122, 123. But, the, you know, the weather obviously kind of messed up their, kind of messed up their fireworks plans. And I think that's probably happened, I know it. I was talking to my friend Ken earlier today that is up in Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska, and he was saying that they were supposed to have a fireworks display Friday evening, and the rain, it got rained out, and so then they were going to shift it to Sunday night, you know, but he didn't say what would happen if, what happens if it rains Sunday night, you know, then... Then do they have some contingency? Don't know. But, I don't know. I've always kind of thought, you know, when I was a kid, you know, you get the fire, you buy the firecrackers and the sparklers and so on and so forth. And it was kind of fun when I was a kid. But, you know, the thing is, you see these, excuse me, you see these adults buy fireworks. You know, people will spend a fortune on that stuff. And now of course, this year, I, you know, I don't know how well fireworks are selling as compared with other years. But, you know, you see these people, but you know, buying their fireworks. Well, you know, you might as well just burn, you know, take the money out and just burn it. You know, it's, you know, it's kind of stupid. Now, the thing I've never understood is that, you know, certain parts of the country, you're driving around, and especially on interstates, and you see these, you know, all these fireworks, these permanent fireworks places. You know, and there's some, you know, there's some of them, I don't know, you see it in Missouri quite a bit. Not really in Arkansas very much. I don't think I've ever seen any fireworks, you know, the permanent ones, in Arkansas. But, you know, I certainly have seen them in Missouri and Tennessee as well is another place where you'll, you know, in certain areas you'll see these just the fireworks for sale. You know, the fireworks stores, and they're just, there they are. And who's buying all that stuff? You know, how do... How are those fireworks places able, you know, of course they do other stuff. They have other stuff besides fireworks, but, you know, they're usually their convenience stores, and they may sell gas or whatever as well sometimes. But I've just never understood who's buying all that stuff, you know, and it's not, especially if it's, you know, maybe I can understand... The temporary fireworks stands, you know, around the 4th of July or around, you know, holiday like that, but I don't understand it otherwise. You know, and particularly, you know, the people that are able to do it year-round and actually remain in business year-round selling fireworks. It's amazing. You know, I don't know, but it's kind of a weird thing. Now, of course, in a lot of states... you know, fireworks is basically banned as far as setting it off. You know, there's a number of states where it's kind of, they've made it illegal. And, you know, primarily the reason they do that or a city does it is because, you know, it is a fire hazard. It really is a, you know, it is kind of a fire hazard to set fireworks off in a city or someplace where the, you know, if you get up like really dry weather, it's kind of you're kind of asking for problems, you know. So I don't know. I just, the fire, you know, it's, if there's a fireworks display, I'll watch it, but it's not something that, you know, I just really get excited about or look forward to, because quite frankly, you know, if you've seen, you see one, you've seen them all. And you know, and it's particularly, you know, I'm not going to be wasting my money on it. So, anyway, I'm getting tired again. So I think I'm going to get headed to bed. Still, as I say, I'm still not feeling quite right. You know, not really stiff, but, or not really sore, but sort of, you know. And I think it was because I, you know, just kind of sweat too much. And, you know, for at least sweat over a period of several hours. And I'm not going to put up with that. So, I don't know. I'm going to start, as I say, I'm going to start doing some research. You know, including talking to drivers that I can. But start doing some research. And, you know, try to find, you know, be able to talk to drivers that actually work for different companies. Find out what the drivers have to say. Find out what the hassle factors are. Because, you know, that's what I'm looking for now. I want a reduced hassle factor. You know, I just want to be able to do the job, do what I'm supposed to do, and not have somebody screwing around with me. You know, I don't want that. I want to just be able to do the job, do what I'm supposed to, you know, leave me alone, just let me do the work, and, you know, don't screw around with me, you know, stop hassling me, you know, and I just don't understand why companies do that. Of course they do, you know, you get into the political stuff, and it's a thing that I want to avoid the politics. You know, that's why I'm driving a truck. You know, I like being able to avoid politics, but, you know, when a company comes along and they push the politics off on you anyway, then, you know, it's time for me to say, sorry, Charlie, I'm not going to put up with that. So, we'll see what happens, but I think it is time for me to, start taking, you know, just start, you know, kind of figuring out where, you know, where the next place to go, you know, what's the next company to go to work for. And, you know, and I don't do that, you know, I take that pretty seriously. I don't like to change jobs unless I have to. And, you know, I just won't do it willy-nilly. So, you know, they've kind of got to give me a reason to want to leave. And if, you know, and if they start hassling me about things, then that's as good a reason as any. And so, you know, of course, there's no such thing as a perfect trucking company. There's no such thing as a perfect driving job. And, you know, there are always going to be some trade-offs here and there. Now, of course, the bigger the company, the more likely it is that you're going to end up with, you know, you can end up with a kind of, that has its own hassle, because then you're more sort of anonymous. And that has advantages and disadvantages, you know, because, you know, there's trade-offs to all of it. You know, if you have a smaller company, chances are that they're not, you know, they're going to be more personalized. But then again, then you can also end up running the risk of, depending, you know, you can get into some politics there as well. It just depends. It really does depend. But, I don't know. So I think it's just kind of time to move along and you know, try something, you know, try another situation. You know, not really running away from this one, but just kind of tired of dealing with the hassles. And you know, and there The thing with not being able to get me home, that's just an ongoing problem that they have. And that's not something that, you know, it's just, it's sort of like a fact of life, and it's just a matter of, do I want to continue to put up with that? And then when they throw in the hassle about, well, don't want you to idle the truck, we want you to keep that down, don't go beyond 20% idle time, well, you know, how am I going to do that when I'm driving, you know, last week I went 1,000 miles, and I haven't really kept track of it, but my mileage is, you know, over the past 6 months, you know, there's been some serious sitting. You know, you can go back in the podcast and listen. You know, there were some, more than once when I sat 2 or 3 days, the truck is going to be idling. I'm sorry. Especially if it's too warm or if it's too cold, the truck is going to have to idle. You know, so I don't know. So we'll see. Anyhow, hope everyone is having a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.